Praise the Lord. Read this scripture before I pray over the tithes and offering. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Yes, He's able to make all grace abound. All means all, in every aspect of your life. He's able to make all the grace. That means in every aspect of your life, you have His grace. Not only have His grace, you will abound, right? Abound means more than you need. And you always having all sufficiency, because all the grace abounds in every aspect of your life, and having all sufficiency in all things. Amen. That's the nature of our Heavenly Father. He never wants us to have any lack in any area, but in all things, in every area of our life, we have all sufficiency. Amen. And may have abundance for every good work. I mean, if you are sufficient, then you have more than sufficient for His good works. Amen. So to meet all your needs in every aspect of your life, then you're going to have abundance, you know, beyond that, beyond all your needs, so that you have abundance for every good work. Amen. Praise God. That's the grace of God. Amen. He make a grace abound in our lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can bring our tithes to worship You and honoring You, acknowledging all that we have is from You. We thank You, Father. You're the God of the good times. You're the God of the bad times. You're the God all the time. And You do not change. We thank You, Father, in Him, in Christ. In Christ Jesus, we are always having all sufficiency in all things and abound towards good works in good times and in bad times, because You are the God the same yesterday, today, and forever. We thank You that the seed that we bring as offering that we give, we thank You for multiplying back to us by multiplying back Your grace to us. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone say, Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Today we're going to study the purpose of Holy Communion. So last 2-3 weeks we studied on the methods through which we can minister healing to the sick. We studied 7 methods. Actually, the 8th method is the Holy Communion. Amen. Holy Communion is not just a ritual. There's power in Holy Communion, just like there's power in the name of Jesus. Amen. And that's how E.W. Kenyon kept his people in his church healthy for 25 years. You know, he was pastoring. Nobody died of sickness and disease except OH. But maybe not everybody got healed. But at least they don't die prematurely of sickness and disease. And the key is also in teaching healing and Holy Communion. That's why we partake of Holy Communion. And it's not just a ritual. We partake by faith. And faith comes from hearing the teaching of Holy Communion. Amen. And you will see from what I teach today, as compared to the circles that taught us wrongly that you have to confess your sin that you're committed before you can partake of Holy Communion. No, there's no such thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Holy Communion is an institution of the Lord's Supper, right? Established by Jesus on the night before He was betrayed. He took bread and He took the cup. He actually partake of Holy Communion. Amen. And the bread that He took is a type of His body that was about to be hung on the cross. And the cup of wine that He drank with His disciples was a type of His blood that was about to be shed on the cross. And the shedding of His blood, His body hung on the cross, that day, that night, 3 days later, He rose again. He established a new covenant with us, right, with His cup. And that night when He took bread and He drank from the cup, there was a type of a Passover, which was a type of the new covenant that He will establish with His own blood and His body on the cross. And Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, is instituted by the Lord. And one of the most important factors is during Holy Communion, we proclaim the Lord's death, His body. We proclaim His body, His death, and the blood of Jesus. We proclaim it. That's the key. Amen. Healing in Holy Communion is in the proclamation of His body on the cross and His blood that was shed on the cross. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So the significance of Holy Communion, the significance of Christ's body broken for us. Amen. So Paul wrote to the Corinthian church about Holy Communion and its purposes. This is a crucial truth that impacts our health. On the night He was betrayed, Jesus took bread and gave it to His disciples to commemorate His own death, right? And Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. Amen. So I received it. How did he receive from the Lord? The Lord appeared to him. And the Lord has instructed him. Then he said, I received from the Lord. Now I deliver it unto you. This true. Right? Verse 24. When he had given thanks, the Lord has given thanks. He broke it and said, take it. He just repeated what Jesus said on the night before he was betrayed. He said, take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. He said, he took the bread. He said, this is my body. It's a type of his body. It symbolizes his body going to be broken for you. It's broken for you. And do this in remembrance of me. Amen. So, what do we remember and what do we proclaim about the Lord's body? So, we do this in remembrance of him, remembering his body that was broken for us. Right? Okay, this is what we have to remember. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross. So that we can be dead to sin. In other words, when you're dead to something, something else has no dominion over you. Right? This word sin is not the act of sin, not a verb, it's a noun. It refers to the power of sin that is the power of Satan. So that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. If we are not dead to sin, the power of sin has dominion over us. You cannot live for what is right. And by his wounds that's on the body, see, you are healed. Right? So what are we to remember about the Lord's body? First, he carried our sin. How did he carry our sin? He never committed any sin. Right? His body reminds us that his spirit carried the power of sin. Amen? His body reminds us that he paid the wages of sin. The price of sin. Amen? The wounds on his body remind us that by his wounds, you were healed. You were healed long before you were born. Amen. You were healed long before you existed. Amen. So what it means is, he was never sick until he was on the cross. He still was not sick. So it was the power of sin, there is the oppression of sickness that was laid on him that he bore. And he overcame all sickness, the power of sickness. That's where we are healed. In other words, sickness cannot destroy you. You cannot die of sickness because you were healed. If you were healed, will you die of sickness? No. That is beyond your mind. Okay? In this church, I can teach because you can understand. Right? I mean, by his wounds, you were healed. That means you won't die of sickness and disease. But your mind cannot comprehend. Your mind cannot comprehend. Your mind cannot conceive. How could it be true? That's why it's a proposition of faith. Comes by hearing. By his wounds, I was healed. That means I won't die of sickness. Right or not? Then what do? You proclaim that I'm not going to die of sickness. I've been proclaiming. I refuse to die of sickness. Right? I didn't say I'll never get sick. I mean, you miss God. You don't miss God. You know, when outside is minus 30 degrees, you don't wear any. I mean, unless you just walk out, you sure catch a cold one. Right? You catch a cold, you don't take medicine, you don't treat yourself, you know, you get pneumonia, you will die. Right now. Amen? That doesn't mean you won't get sick. You got to take care of yourself. Right? Amen? But by his wounds, you were healed. You were healed. Then why should I die of sickness? I was healed. When he died on the cross, I was healed. In other words, you know, if you ever get sick, get your healing. Because the healing, he already got it for you on the cross. Right or not? And you must see it from the perspective of sickness is an oppression of the devil. The oppression of sickness cannot destroy your body, kill you. Amen. Because he healed you means he overcame the power of sickness, the power of Satan, the power of the oppression of sickness. I mean, you think in terms of medical science, of course, you die out of sickness. But you think of what the scripture says, just accept it. It's beyond your mind. Right or not? Now, that's why with PhD, you cannot understand this. That's why I put aside your PhD mind. I know you have a PhD mind. Put it aside and simply accept what he said. By his wounds you were healed. Amen. So if I were healed, why should I not be healed if I'm ever sick? Because I was healed on the cross. How could it be? Because sickness is an oppression of the devil. He overcame, he destroyed the power of sickness. In other words, you are in Christ, you are the body of Christ, you are the temple of God, your body belongs to God. Sickness cannot trespass God's property. In other words, sickness or oppression of the devil cannot destroy your body with sickness. Your body may be afflicted with sickness and you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to get you healed and recovered. Amen. Praise the Lord. Instead of, you know, sometimes a bit only, quickly check in the hospital because thinking of maybe I have cancer. Yeah, that's a detrimental thing. That's because your parents died of cancer, you know. Slightly, first thing in your mind, you're thinking, oh, maybe I got cancer. If you frequently go to hospital because of minor ailment, you better check on yourself, check on your thinking. Hello, do you hear what I'm saying? What did I say? You guys say if you frequently, your minor, always check into hospital, A&E, something wrong with your mindset really. Amen. That's not normal, right? I'm not just telling stories. Yeah. He personally carried our sins in his body. Now we're talking about remembering why his body hung on the cross. So, if by his wounds we were healed, then we are not only free from sickness, we are free from the power of sin. Right? Because victory is in Christ, we share in his triumph over sin, and we are dead to sin. Sin has no dominion over us. Because of Christ's sacrifice, he personally carried our sin in his body. Amen? So, Jesus bore the power of oppression of sin when he rose again. He rose again from the dominion of the power of sin. So the power of sin has no power over him. So he has no power over him. You know, that little book, $1 book, is called In Him. Simple book. And it gives you one truth. What's that truth? If Christ personally carried our sin, carried our sickness on his body, right? We are in him. Then we are in him. He is in us. If sickness, power, sin and sickness has no power over him, no power over us. You must think like this. You want to live long, your mindset must change to think like what the Bible is telling us to think. If not, my mother had cancer, slightly in the hospital, right? Something wrong here, something wrong there. Right? That's another pattern. I'm not saying don't go to the hospital. Don't blame me. You die. You're not going to hospital. I'm saying after you go to the hospital, you come out, nothing wrong. So it's a pattern. Frequent pattern. Just like your job got problem, there's a pattern. Somebody recently told me, he said, man, the last three jobs, same pattern. Man. And somebody else, same pattern. Man. Every time minor, I say, a bit only you go hospital, check in. Why don't you go to a go to some clinic, right? In some HDB, the doctor will tell you, nothing wrong with you, right? But you need to go to hospital, please go, okay? I qualify myself. You say, Pastor, you said don't go to hospital. I didn't say don't go. So since we are in Christ and members of the body of Christ, the power of sin does not have dominion over us. It has no power over us. Amen? We are dead to sin means the power of sin or Satan has no dominion over us, right? Healing through his wounds. Because Christ bore our suffering, oppression of sickness he has broken, and we have faith in his provision. We believe that we are healed. That's his provision. Amen. Have you thought about it? You know, another scripture that talks about, while you are in your transgression, he saved you. What does that mean? It means before you were born, Jesus died and rose again. He paid for your sin. He already saved you long before you were saved. I didn't get saved on the 10th of October, 1983, 3:10 p.m. outside Max Lecture Theater. No, he saved me when he died on the cross and rose again. So when did he heal you? By his wounds on the cross, he healed you. Here you are healed. When he delivered you, when he died and rose again. Amen. Word of Faith Revival teaches that. Before you are born, Jesus died and rose again. He saved the whole world. He actually saved the whole world, but the world needs to get saved. That's the difference. You didn't get saved on a certain date, a certain time. No, He saved you on the cross. But you receive your salvation on certain days, certain times, certain place, you know, right? When did He heal you? On the cross, He healed you. Amen. So next, we remember by the stripes of wounds on His body, it is the sign that the oppression of sickness has no dominion or power over our bodies. You know, it has no power over your body means you don't fear sickness. That's the worst thing. Sometimes very subtle, because my mother had cancer. So a bit here means I better go to the hospital. So we are healed because the oppression of sickness has no power over us. We believe we are healed and healthy because Jesus bore the power of sickness. So if you're not well, go and see a doctor, get some medicine, you'll recover. There's no need to fear. Amen. And don't always think that maybe I will have, maybe, you know, maybe that's how the devil. You know how Eve got deceived? Satan spoke to her. Did God say? Maybe He didn't say. Maybe. That's how it all starts. Maybe, you know, maybe you have cancer. It all starts with maybe. Then Satan spoke to Eve. No lah, you eat, you won't die. Then after Satan will say, yeah, you have cancer. That's how He spoke to Eve. When He comes against you, He comes in the opposite. He asked Eve, did God say you should not eat from the tree? Questioning what God said. Then His suggestion will come. No lah, you eat from the tree, you won't die. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Maybe, you know, you have cancer. Maybe. Wow, then you start to worry. Then you say, yeah. Right? You oppress your body some more. Wow, looks like, yeah. Matthew chapter 8, verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, He Himself took our infirmities. He bore. How did He bear? He was never sick. So He bore the power of oppression. Oppression of sickness and disease. He bore the oppression of Satan on His spirit. And He overcame that oppression. And in our spirit, we are in Christ. He is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. Amen. And He bore, we need not bear. He overcame the power of sickness. He has no dominion, no power over us. That means He also has no power over us. That means we just tell our body, just get well. Be healed, Jesus' name, and recover. Right? So what are we to remember? That by His wounds we are healed means we are to remember that He actually bore our sickness on the cross. He bore it. He bore long before you were born, long before you existed anywhere. Amen? So it was a prophetic fulfillment. Our response to affliction should be, when believers face with sickness, our first thought should be that the power of sickness cannot destroy us. We confess this truth before seeking prayer, right? That's why your body is afflicted. First thing, don't look to the doctor. First thing, turn to God. Then go and see the doctor, right? After affirming our freedom from sickness power, we can then seek healing through the various methods of ministering to the sick. Then, you know, go and see the doctor if you have to. Go to be hospitalized if you have to, right? So whenever a believer is afflicted with some sickness, the first thought and belief is that the power of sickness cannot destroy you, and confess it. Then we come to prayer line to be prayed for using the different methods of ministering to you, to the sick, that we studied over the last two Sundays. Understanding that Christ has already borne our sickness empowers us to approach healing with confidence. We stand on the finished work of Christ rather than merely hoping for relief. You don't hope, oh, God manifests, you have an instant healing. Forget it. Even when Benny Hinn comes, not everyone gets healed. So next thing we must remember is the blood of the new covenant. It's a new covenant established with Jesus' blood, new blood covenant. And He died on the cross. It was death for sin. He paid the wages of sin through His death. Death is separation from God. Amen. And because of sin, the price that we pay is eternal death. That means you live in hell forever. And Jesus paid that price. He went to hell, but He didn't have to live there eternally. He lived there for 3 days. Amen. Less than 3 days, actually. And because of His death on the cross, the blood speaks of His death and also speaks of giving us eternal life. His sacrifice brings the gift of eternal life, that we live eternally with God in heaven. If not, we will be living eternally in hell. Because of His death, because of His blood, we become new creation. The Holy Spirit creates a new spirit within us. That's a new covenant. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25, this is what we need to remember next. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper. You know, we do it one shot. We took the bread, we took the cup. No, they took the bread, have a supper, first finish, eat full food, then they took the cup in remembrance of Him. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often you drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. Often. How often? You like. How often you like? I can do it every week. I can do it every once a month. Praise the Lord. If I sense a necessity to change, then we have Holy Communion every Sunday then. But I do it every morning. Thank you, Lord, for this coffee. You know, I didn't say thank you, Lord, for this bread. Whatever bread, can be a UTL. I say thank you. I still say bread. Whatever I hold in the morning, thank you, Lord, for this bread in remembrance of you, your body that hung on the cross. Right? You took my infirmity, bore sickness and disease by His wounds. I'm healed. I'm proclaiming every Sunday. And no, every day. So how often did I do it in remembrance of Him? Then the coffee, I say, thank you, Lord, for this cup. I drink in remembrance of your blood that shed on the cross. Verse 26, for as often you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. That's the key for health. Power in Holy Communion is in proclaiming the Lord's death. You don't say, thank you, Lord, for dying. No, you must understand. Next thing Jesus wants us to remember is His blood that was shed on the cross. He shed His blood to establish a new covenant with us. The blood speaks of His death, so we proclaim about His death. He died for the sin of the whole world, for the wages of sin is death. We proclaim His death means we proclaim that, Lord, you died that I may live. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 and 3. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, this word sin, it's not a verb, it's a noun. For the wages is not what you committed, no. It's a power of sin that causes you to sin against God and separated from God. So He bore the power of sin, right? He bore the power of sin and He paid the wages, the price of sin with His own death, Jesus. Spiritual death is simply separation from God. When He was separated from God, He lived eternally in hell for 3 days. His eternal was 3 days. Amen. So, for example, Adam and Eve sinned against God. They were separated from God, which is spiritual death. So that's a price Jesus paid. Separated from God, spiritual death, because He bore the power of sin. He never committed any act of sin. So He bore the power of sin that separated Him from God. Because He was separated from God, death comes. Physical death, spiritual death leads to physical death. First, He died spiritually, then He died physically. So once He died physically on the cross, His spirit soul must leave the body. When He leaves the body, the power of sin oppressed Him, has to drag Him into hell. So Jesus had to go to hell. I'm telling you, don't listen to the teaching. Jesus suffered on the cross enough. From there, He went straight to Abraham's bosom. That is changing the fundamental of Christianity. Amen. That's a very serious error. If He did not go to hell, He is not our substitute. Jesus died on the cross, one, as our substitute, two, as our example. As a substitute means you all don't have to go there, I go there on your behalf. If He didn't go to hell and be raised from the dead, there's no salvation, because the wages of sin must be death, spiritual death. You know, when God created Adam and Eve, there was no death. First, there was spiritual death that leads to physical death, then leads to eternal death. There are three kinds of death in the Bible. Eternal death is when, after 1,000 years, everybody casts into Satan and evil spirits and fallen angels and those who are not saved all cast into the lake of fire. That's the eternal death. When you read the word death in the Bible, there are three kinds of death. But spiritual death will lead to physical death. Physical death came about because of sickness and disease. Sickness and disease came because of spiritual death. Spiritual death because of sin. Amen. Sin leads to spiritual death. Spiritual death leads to sickness and disease. Sickness and disease leads to physical death. Physical death, if somebody is not saved, will end up eternal death forever. Amen. So Jesus had to pay the price. He had to go down to hell. But for 3 days. It's enough. Amen. He died for them and died for the whole world. He died a spiritual death and separated from God. Then he went down to hell. That's eternal death. He died an eternal death for us. That's the price he paid for our sins. That's the sin of the whole world. That's the wages of sin. And God raised him from hell. And when we were born again, our spirit also died. But we didn't have to go to hell. He died, he went to hell so that we don't have to go there. How many of you remember you went to hell first before you got born again? Can I see your hand? Let's stop right now where everybody kneel down and pray for you. Now, the difference between Jesus and us is Jesus was not born again. He was raised from hell. Same spirit that came from heaven to earth and went down to hell and came out of earth. We are born again. Jesus is not born again. Our spirit completely born new. That means the old spirit died. Gone, disappeared. That's the greatest miracle. Your PhD mind cannot understand one. How did my spirit, old spirit, disappear? Where did he go? And then the new spirit he created in there, gone off. See, impossible. What is impossible with God? You tell me what is impossible with God? Huh? Yeah, a lot of things is impossible with Trump, but it's not with God. Amen? So he went to hell and God raised him from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He came down to earth, descended into Abraham's bosom. That's where Adam and Eve, until the day Jesus died and rose again, all them Old Testament saints are in Abraham's bosom. That's when they were born again. They were waiting for the Messiah. They saw him. They saw him. He was in hell over the other side. Now they saw him raised from hell and came down to Abraham's bosom. They all waited for him. They all were born again. All of them. From Adam, all the Old Testament saints, all got born again. So concerning the blood of Jesus, we remember that his blood continues to cleanse us. That's a symbol of his protection, right? So the wages of sin is spiritual death, eternal death, but Christ rose over it, against it. 1 John 1:7. Now what are we to remember? 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as is in the light, now this word Eve, just like in verse 9, shouldn't be translated as Eve. Now, I learned this from a Baptist professor, you know. He wrote this article in 1978. He said in Greek, the word Eve, it can be translated under three conditions. And this should be translated under the third condition. On the third condition, there are two translations. Here, it should be translated, we may or may not walk in the light, as he is in the light. We may or may not walk in the light, referring to what? Our outwardly, but in our spirit, we are walking in the light. Because our spirit is in the light doesn't grow dim. The Holy Spirit is the light that's in us. We are the children of light and never grow dark. There's no darkness in us. So our spirit always is in the light, but our outwardly may not be living a life that's in the light. So we may or may not walk in the light. As he is in the light, the Holy Spirit is in the light, Jesus is in the light, God is in the light. We may or may not walk, the blood of Jesus cleanses us. That's the grace of God. Amen. So concerning the blood of Jesus, remember that his blood continues to cleanse us. The word cleanses is present active verb. It's a present active verb. That means it's a continuous action. It's a verb. It's a verb, you know. It's not just a noun. It's a verb. A verb means there's a right now. Right now, the blood of Jesus. How did the blood of Jesus continue to cleanse us? Where's his blood? Where's it? It was on the ground outside Jerusalem, long ago been washed away by the rain. So what do you mean by the blood of Jesus cleanses us? It's symbolic of the power of God continued to, it's actively cleanses us from all sin. And the word sin is not a verb, it's a noun. It's the power of sin again. That means the blood of Jesus symbolizing the power of God continued to keep the power of sin away from us. Or power of Satan, power of sickness away from us. Amen. But doesn't mean you won't be afflicted. I mean, COVID came, you know. But that means the power of the blood of Jesus symbolizes the power of God continue to cleanse us. Means it continues to cover us. It continues to keep the power of sickness and disease, Satan, away from us. Right or not? Amen. Praise God. So it's continuous cleansing through His blood, because the word cleanses is a present active verb. Initial salvation, the blood cleanses us when we accepted Christ. Means what? Means the blood cleanses? No, means, you know, it's symbolic of we're totally born again, we died. Blood always speaks of His death and speaks of life. He cleanses us means first thing, we died. Right or not? Then after that, it's continuous cleansing, purification as we walk in. Whether you walk in the light, don't walk in the light, continue to cleanse you. That's the grace of God. So that means it's an ongoing protection. The blood keeps the power of Satan away. That doesn't mean you don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? Now, we can claim protection when you travel, you can pray. We just claim protection, right? But if the Holy Spirit leads you to change your flight, don't go that place, you better obey. Amen. You stop thinking, man, I'm going to waste the airfare. You better waste the airfare because your life is worth more than airfare. Amen. And His blood continues to cover us until His return. It's eternal security. Amen. So cleansing is not a one-time event, but a continuous process. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. Now, let's go back to this scripture on Holy Communion again. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drink this cup of the Lord, because in remembrance of the Lord's body and His blood, in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of not of your sin that you committed yesterday. You are guilty of the body and the blood, not guilty of what you committed. See or not? Amen. How do we drink in an unworthy manner if we do not understand what's the purpose of His body that hung on the cross and the blood of Jesus that shed on the cross? Not about when you slapped somebody yesterday. Amen. Or cheated somebody yesterday. Because the blood continues to cleanse you. When we take Holy Communion, do not understand the purpose of Jesus' body on the cross and His blood shed, we are guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus. Verse 28. But let us examine Himself. Now, examine where you sin, you know. You have sinned, you cannot take Holy Communion, you know. You better examine yourself. No, examine whether you are guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Okay, I know they will say, yeah, you know, maybe you committed sin, you didn't ask the Lord to forgive you, so you're guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. No, I'll show you. But let my man, a woman, examine himself, so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. It's not examining yourself for the act of sins you have committed before taking Holy Communion. And the traditional church, I took it when I was a sinner. I told you the story. I just said, you got no car to go to church. I'll borrow a car, bring him to church. My friend, we were squash partner. We used to play squash in the university. So I drove him to church that Sunday. I wasn't even a Christian. And they're passing the cup in the Pentecostal church in Perth. So he passed the cup. I took it. I want to take it. And then the elder behind said, don't let him take. Don't let him take. Then this guy, so very unspiritual and he doesn't know much. So he said, don't let him take. Okay, hey, you go on, don't take. I said, no, I want to take. Yeah. Then he said, okay, take one. I took. Because you are an unbeliever, you're a sinner going to hell. You whether you take or you don't take, what's a thief? Correct? Right? Huh? Maybe you think you take, you really cannot get saved. You know, they forbid me from taking. I got saved. Not long after, actually, I got saved. I got saved in Perth. Verse 29. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, he says again, eat and drink judgment. Didn't say God judge you. Judgment to himself. Now, how you drink in an unworthy manner, not discerning the Lord's body. The word discern means not recognizing, not understanding, not recognizing the Lord's body. Now, Jesus said, when you eat this bread, in remembrance of my body. When you drink this cup, remind me of my blood. If you don't understand what's the purpose of the body and the blood of Jesus on the cross, then you don't recognize. It's the Lord's body when we partake of Holy Communion. It says, for we eat and drink unworthy manner, not recognizing the Lord's body and the Lord's blood. It's not about your sin you committed yesterday. See that? unworthy manner is because you don't discern, means you don't recognize. The word discern means recognize. You don't recognize. How do you recognize? You need to understand, because how do you recognize? You go to Jerusalem to recognize, oh yeah, your body, Lord, hung on the cross. No, it's not there. Amen? So how do you recognize? How do you discern? You need to understand what's the purpose of the Lord's body that hung on the cross. Right? He bore my sickness. He bore my disease. He bore my sin on his body. That's what we must recognize. Then we are not drinking in an unworthy manner. And what was from his body? His blood was shed from his body. We must recognize that his blood speaks of his death. He went to hell, paid for our sin. Somebody said, Jesus don't have to go because he suffered enough on the cross. So from the cross, he went straight to Abraham's bosom, changing the fundamentals of Christianity. So you have to recognize the blood shed on the cross means Jesus went to hell on our behalf. And his blood speaks of his death, spiritual death, separated from God. It speaks of his eternal life when God raised him from the dead. He was no longer separated from God when he was raised from the dead. Amen. And recognize that when we are in Christ, we die with Christ, means our spirit also died gone, right? And then we recognize his blood depicts his life, means we have eternal life now. If we don't recognize, then we drink judgment upon ourselves. Not God judge us. I know some versions say God judge. So to take Holy Communion worthily, first we must proper discernment, recognize, understand the purpose of Christ's body and blood sacrifice. Secondly, we have to do a self-examination. How you examine, if I don't teach you, you understand, no? Right? That's why when you take Holy Communion, don't take it like a ritual. No. That's when you release your faith concerning the Lord's body, release your faith concerning the blood of Jesus. Amen. It keeps the power of Satan away from you. Praise God. A very practical example. Somebody in our church, you know, walked to the point whereby they fear no more. No more bothering him anymore. Why? Because of the truth and the blood of Jesus kept. They come to a point, yes, no more. It doesn't bother him anymore. Yeah. I didn't have to fast and pray special prayer, man. Every time pray for this person. Oh, man, yeah. Let me warn you again. You fear of sickness. You fear cancer. And I mentioned, make it easier for you. In fact, doctors said that now cancer is easy to cure because there's a lot of treatments. Just discover early, you know, follow the doctor's advice. When you pray for, you don't see instant healing. Just follow medical advice. Don't follow some advice. You know, you better believe God. That's rubbish. Amen? You understand? So we have to examine ourselves. Means what? Ask yourself, do you understand what's the purpose of the Lord's body hung on the cross? Do you understand what's his blood for? Then after that, have reverence. You reverence him when we take Holy Communion. Amen? Don't take it for granted, because there's power in the proclamation of the Lord's body and his blood. This whole morning, and that's what I'm proclaiming now. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30. For this reason, because they don't understand or recognize, for this reason, many people are weak and they become sick and they die. Now, reverse it. When I teach you, I'm done with my responsibility. You believe it. You understand the purpose of the Lord's body that hung on the cross and his blood. Not only you stay healthy, you will have protection. You will not fear. But, of course, still be wise, lah. You get what I'm saying? No. Don't just say, I'm under the blood, just go to the dangerous places. Right? You know they shouldn't go. And especially, the Holy Spirit warn you, you still go. And you wonder why. Pastor, I thought the blood protects us, why die? Then, of course, there must be a reason, you know. For this reason, that means they drank, take the bread and the cup, in an unworthy manner. What was the unworthy manner? Not discerning or recognizing the Lord's body. Amen. So in those days, many believers died of sickness because they did not understand and recognize. I mean, if they did not recognize the Lord's body and became weak, sick, and die. So if we recognize, what was the reverse? We will be strong, healthy, and live long. Like what I said today, if by his wounds you will heal, why should you die of sickness and disease? Amen. Because on the cross, I'm healed. So I'm going to live long. Careless what kind of genes you have. My mother, father died of cancer. My father died of cancer. He died of smoking. My grandmother died of heart attack. So am I going to fear that I'm going to die? My grandfather was executed by the Japanese. So what do I fear? I'm going to fear me. I'm going to preach the gospel and get executed. Is it? Huh? If by stripes you will heal, then why should you die of sickness and disease when he will heal you? Start believing it. Start thinking, processing it. Start changing your mind, your thinking. By his wounds, I'm healed. I don't have to die of sickness and disease. Now, my medical science is so advanced. Two things. They used to be killers. Heart disease. Now, nobody worry about heart disease. Man, go and get treated early. Right? They balloon you or they just do a transplant. Right? You'll be fine. Right? My father-in-law had a bypass. Yeah. Do a balloon, do a bypass. Then after he lived another 30 years, my mother went for a balloon. At first the doctor said, I want to do a bypass. Then thank God for another. Sometimes, you know, God just worked things out. And he said, now, we've been doing 2,000 over a balloon a month. Just did a balloon, she's still fine up to today. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So in those days, many of them died, right? Because not recognizing this was not divine punishment, but a natural consequence of not assessing the healing power available through proper understanding of communion. When we understand the purpose of the Lord's body and his blood, and we proclaim it over you during Holy Communion, there's power in Holy Communion that heals and keeps you healthy. Because I didn't say it. He said, for that reason, they didn't recognize it. They drank in an unworthy manner. They were weak, they were sick, and they died. And in those days, Paul must be pantang. No, don't use the word die, just use they all sleep. But they all went to be with Jesus already. Amen. I've never said this before. If it's by his wounds, by his stripes, you were healed, why should you not get healing? Why should you die of sickness? If you were healed, you shouldn't die. You die of sickness. Right? Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Then Karen got her healing complete. Right? After 2 years, she still got her healing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Now, let me just repeat what I never said before. I heard it before. That's how Brian taught it. By his wounds, you were healed. If you were healed, why should you die of sickness? Why shouldn't you get your healing and recover and continue to live as long as you want? Recently, you know, I just felt to go back and listen to Brother Higgins' CD, you know. He said his life ministry. Then I began to plot as he preached. I said, I misunderstood what he was saying in the past. Then I calculated. Actually, if he were to finish the fourth phase of his ministry, it was as long as his third phase, he would live until past 100 years old. And Jesus said, after you finish fourth phase for your ministry, I'll give you 10 more years. Say, oh my God, there'll be 110 plus. Then Jesus said, if you're not satisfied, then we talk about it. Then I realized that Brother Hagin didn't finish 39 years, but he finished his ministry. But his fourth phase will be as long as second, that means 29 years. But he didn't finish the 29 years. But anyway, he finished his ministry. From there on, I said, oh my God. And the Lord told him, actually, if you want to, your fourth phase of your ministry can be as long. That's where I missed it. Sometimes you listen to the message, you didn't listen carefully. He said, if you want to, your fourth phase can be as long as the third phase. That's 29 years, 29 years, 29 years. But I calculated, oh, he didn't. He didn't want to live and finished at 29 years in four phase. He just, at the age of 86, he just decided to go. I said, oh my God, he finished, he'll be past 100 years old. Then Jesus said, I'll give you another 10 years. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So in other words, you can't live to 100 years if you like to. So I've decided that at least 90 already. I haven't decided how long. Maybe 100. So I eat more protein now. And then recently I was watching TikTok. No? They say, you know how the Japanese, there's a village, there are many of them live more than 100 years old. And he went to go and research. He said, you know why these people in that village live to 100 years old? You think they go to the gym and pump up? Ah? Or they cycle like, oh, wow, ping, boom, piang, piang, boom, ping, boom, piang, piang. No, routine. Every day, just routine. Now go to the farm, take care of the farm, feed the chickens. Routine. Just keep yourself active with routine. Don't try to kill yourself. Then suddenly I saw another article. Well, when you're below 30, well, you can go to the gym until you fail. That means until your muscles couldn't take it. Is it when you're 30 to 40, another one. Is it when you're 60, just relax. Go to the gym, just not, oh, like the younger one. Not that fighting, oh, I'm like the young one. Oh! No, just relax. You see, you know why the Japanese live so long? Not because of the diet, whatever. It's routine. That means they continue with their routine. You know, not stay at home, do nothing, you know. Right? The routine means feed the chicken, lah, clean the house, lah, go tend to the farm, lah, that's a village. See, that's how they live long. No special diet or whatever, or what vitamin supplement, you know. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Give you praise. Amen. Soromens Kanamre. Let's wait for the children to come. We take Holy Communion. So, this morning, this same message has been taught in the children. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. By His wound, you were healed. No need for you to die of sickness and disease because He healed you. Amen. So what do? Get your healing first. If you want, then die then. But get your healing first. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. Praise your holy name.